Hi, I'm Mackenzie Atwood. Welcome to the Steven Universe podcast. So we've been focusing on the aftermath of the big pink diamond reveal and what kind of effect it's had on the various characters of Steven Universe. We've also been unpacking the beautiful wedding between Sapphire and Ruby and the impact it's had not only on the fans, but also on the Crooniverse. So to continue that discussion today, let me welcome storyboard supervisor Hillary Florido, Erica Luttrell, the voice of Sapphire, and Didi Magno-Hall, who voices Pearl. Thank you guys so much for joining me.
Hello, Mackenzie!
Howdy.
Yeah, awesome. So today we're talking about a bunch of new episodes that have come out fairly recently. The whole pink diamond reveal and everything through like Reunited. It's all big game changing episodes. Do you guys remember like recording any of those major plot twisty episodes?
Woohoo!
Yes, absolutely. I remember weeping. I remember lots of weeping.
No, I'm not a voice actor.
All a blur. You know what? I get the script on a Monday and then we record on a Wednesday. So I read through it, and when I say I read through it, I read my parts that I'm going to say.
Skim it.
Hashtag honesty.
But, you know, not until I see the finished product is when it all clicks for me. And I don't know if I do that because, you know, because we get sent the storyboard as well. And I'm technologically challenged. So sometimes I have a hard time, you know, trying to look it up before I get into the recording studio. So like I'll see images for the first time often while I'm recording. And so...
Wait, did they send you a PDF?
No, I didn't even know what PDF means.
All right.
Let's just be honest.
Didi's doing her best.
I'm doing my best.
I'll see if we can print it out.
Oh my goodness gracious. No, too much paper. Too many trees are being affected by that. So honestly, when I saw the show in its entirety, specifically A Single Pale Rose, I remember saying the words, but because it was out of context, I was delivering the lines with, of course, the help of Rebecca, you know, with the line direction. So I'm getting the direction from them and doing the best I can, looking at the images and then trying to emulate the drawing of Pearl's face, her emotion. But not until I actually sit down and watch the show with my kids, typically, I remember watching it and going, oh, that's right. That's what I said. This is heavy. This is a heavy episode. And so, yeah, that's how I like rediscover the episode because,
right.
You know, it's all the pieces are getting put together.
Well, and absolutely me, same in a sense. Obviously, I get in there, I receive the direction, I do the things, but also I have a lot less context coming into it because sometimes episodes may not have aired in advance. I'm not in as many of them, so I don't know exactly the full arc. I'm like, I am the answer, but to what? So it's like there's a lot of depth to it, there's a lot of evolution to it, and so if I'm not completely caught up having read scripts that I may or may not be in and or seen the episodes that may or may not have aired, I don't fully know exactly what the context on top of it, reading your own lines, getting in there, looking at the storyboards, getting the explanation. And so yes, for me, same when I watched the episode back, I was like, okay. Oh, that's foundations of their world have been shook. This is like the basis for their existence in the last however many years that they've been together. So, yeah.
It's so different too, voice acting though, because
it is different.
You know, the process that it takes to put, you know, this 11-minute episode together is a very long, it's like growing a baby. And I know a couple things about that.
Couple.
So it's a long period. It's a long stretch of time that, you know, things happen within those 9 months.
It's 9 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it 9 months? So before, like, the writers are writing it, A Single Pale Rose, that's one I boarded on.
There you go. Oh, congratulations.
Nice. Congratulations, you.
Fantastic and beautiful work.
It is. Boarders get it for 5 weeks. So
that's
a 5 weeks.
Crazy.
To storyboard it and write it, that you do that in 5 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness gracious.
It doesn't feel long when that's happening.
Oh, my goodness. But the whole, everything, putting everything together is 9 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we were talking about how, sapphire we typically only get in small doses, but, like, she was really big in, like, this recent arc. So what was your reaction to learning, like, Erica, that you're going to be spending this much time voicing Sapphire?
I mean, I was jazzed. I was, because a lot of the time, yeah, I mean, you'll have, you know, one line in the midst of something or four lines in the midst of something. And sometimes you'll be in the booth with all of the others and sometimes you won't. And sometimes it'll be one other person. And the context doesn't get lost because definitely the marvelous Ms. Sugar is always like giving us the best direction and context and the storyboards and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it was great to have an opportunity to explore it with a greater depth and to be at least a little bit more emotional with her and be impacted by something to that depth. I really enjoyed being able to do that finally with her.
Yeah, and like you said, like you're talking about the impact, and that's sort of something new for Sapphire too, right?
Yeah.
Just exploring like her being that, like you said, shaken by this revelation.
Right.
What was it like approaching that?
Right, exactly. Being shaken, but not too shaken. Because
right,
Sapphire.
Right.
So yes. Like, shaken. Like, okay, I'm crying, but like not like I would cry if my whole world had been turned upside down, you know, because she can't, otherwise it's not Sapphire anymore. So that was, and again, Rebecca gave a lot of guidance when it came to that or pulled me back if I was wailing too loud.
You're feeling too much.
Feeling too much, exactly. but ultimately, I mean, I loved it. It was really nice because you don't actually always get that sort of opportunity in the world of animation, period, to get that emotional and to dig that deep. But on a show like this, you definitely do. And I was so pleased that Sapphire got to.
Yeah, yeah. Pearl in A Single Pale Rose, that reminds me, because like Pearl, in the same way that Sapphire kind of buries it deep, there's a lot of layers for Pearl too, where she's sort of buried all this, you know, trauma and stuff with, you know, seven pearls deep or whatever it was.
So many layers.
Pearl within pearl within pearl. Yeah, exactly. What was it like, you know, peeling away those layers for you, Didi?
Just watching the show for the first time after everything's put together. It's pretty deep. The show gets very deep. There's lots of feels. And
yes.
I love that the show just goes there, and that a lot of people, I've been getting lots of tweets and, Instagram responses to, some photographs and, with me and a flower in my hair. And I appreciate everybody just sending so much love. And, you know, me personally, I don't like to keep secrets because I always think, you know, they're going to surface someday. You know, you don't lie. Don't tell a lie because eventually you're going to be found out. And so for Pearl to have kept this, this secret for so long, it was as if I was also keeping this secret that I didn't even know I knew. So
it's repressed memories.
Maybe so. So hey, you know, you want to tell me secrets? I'm a good secret keeper.
Just forget that.
Just forget it.
Fantastic approach.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to know how I dealt with those layers?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know you
yeah.
I drew transitions and then had to remember Pearl's earlier outfits.
The outfits.
I dug deep.
Mm, oh, yes. I love it.
That is a deep dive.
I love the outfits.
Check out those model sheets.
Check out those model sheets.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Did you want to ask me the actual question?
No, yeah. Just for real, though, what else went into it for you boarding that whole sequence of her delving into the past?
Right, because I had it when you get to Pearl is Rose. Amber did up till then, you know, with the cataloging, which was really cute.
Yeah.
And I think a lot was, I get Pearl bottling up. I might identify with that.
Mm.
So you just tap into that. And hope that you can draw Rose as good as Rebecca can. Because they're so elegant and beautiful.
The drawings.
The drawings.
The drawings.
The drawings.
Yeah. There's a lot of curves there. I feel like that's the, is that the challenge for Rose?
Well, I think it's just she doesn't, actually a lot like Sapphire. Mm. They don't come up in a ton of episodes, so I don't think I, maybe had like two, one Sapphire episode, like then she got cut. And it's like, no, oh, okay.
Right.
And Rose is also a rare character to draw. I mean, I did it for Lion, the video, direct to the video.
Ah, yeah.
And that was like, how many months? That was a year ago? Many years.
Many years at all. Like, together 5,000.
It's just remembering how to draw something you haven't drawn in a long time.
Right.
Is there a template? You know, like,
you get a model sheet that tells you,
yeah,
basically what you're dealing with.
Yeah. But I love that so many different, there are so many different storyboard artists on the show, so that you get a little taste of everybody's personality.
Rebecca specifically asks, keep everybody's hand like in. They're like, you know, follow the model, but only put it on model when it's like really far off, but otherwise let border.
Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
It's really nice. It's not a usual thing for cartoons.
That's wonderful.
I love it.
Yeah. Inject their style into it. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to like start recognizing the styles. Like when you've watched a lot of episodes, you realize like who draws who like in a different way, and it's something I enjoy.
Who's got fluffier hair?
Me. Yes, exactly.
In life.
Lamar usually draws. They're really like cute and charming and small. I love those. Those are nice too.
Yeah.
Somebody recently asked me to draw Pearl.
How'd that go?
How did it go?
Do you have a photo of that?
I will definitely not be drawing Pearl for any storyboards anytime soon.
Jeez. Storyboard artist?
No, not for me.
That's something I want to see now.
Yes. That'd be an interesting episode, just drawn by the actors.
That would be really
funny. That's going to be a weird one.
I like it.
It's fine. Just keep their unique styles in there. Weird.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The comedy reel? The outtakes? It'll be that.
Yes.
It's a DVD extra.
Yes. Let's work on that.
What would you? You'd have to write for them too, because this is a board-driven show.
Goodness.
So you'd have to write the Pearl dialogue.
Okay. Yeah. Michaela's really good at writing, so maybe she can.
Yes. I would love to see.
We're gonna work on that.
Okay. Cool. So coming up, let's talk more about Pearl and Sapphire's relationship with Rose and what it was like bringing all those emotions and feelings to life for fans. All right, I am here with Hillary and Dee Dee and Erica, and now we're going to talk more about all these characters' relationships with Rose. So how do you guys think that keeping the whole secret of Rose affected Pearl specifically, since that was like sort of her burden to bear?
Rose!
Yes.
Well, as I said before, what did I say before?
Very important things.
It's complicated.
Lots, very complicated.
Feelings.
Lots of feelings involved. You know, because I know Susan personally, Susan Egan, who voices the voice of Rose, a.k.a. Pink Diamond. What? Wait. Should I not have said that?
No.
No, okay. That's out. Don't worry about it.
I know you don't
see?
Know what's aired, but
Hillary,
goodness gracious.
You're making me nervous.
That joke never gets old. We still do it. And always a little funny.
Oh, my goodness. I got sweaty. Anywho. Because I know Susan personally and have worked with her on other things outside of Steven Universe, I have gotten to know her, and she's my dear friend now. So, like, I will personally, Dee Dee, I will always have a special place in my heart for Rose. And, you know, I can look at Pink Diamond and always see Rose. Oh, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's perfect.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It is.
It is.
That's really sweet that you guys... I didn't know you guys knew each other that well. That's awesome.
Well, it started with the show, but, you know, we exchanged phone numbers and she's asked me to sing with her at a concert in Florida. I was a guest singer for a show that she did in Orange County. And like, it was just, it's very, very cool. And then another, she's doing this Princess Party now. Plug. But yeah, so we became very good friends, and we also share the mommyhood bond. Mm. So yeah, so you know, I'm always gonna have a special place in my heart for Rose.
That's awesome, Hillary. What do you think? What do you think? What's your take?
Not as good as that. the Rose and Pearl. It's obviously a complicated relationship. The power dynamic is always a thing that's kind of weird. I like to think as when she became Rose, that was negated a little bit, and especially that it was actually kind of like Pearl's idea,
right,
to kind
right.
of get this business started.
I always think it's interesting too, the relationships between the Pearls and their diamonds, the relationship between our Pearl and, can I say that? Our Pearl.
That's what we say. Our
Pearl. Okay, okay, good, 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 good. That's
those
probably
other
where
pearls.
I, that's where I got it from. but our Pearl's relationship with Pink Diamond and Rose is very different from Yellow and Blue, and so you know, Pink and Pearl are, they were like buds, you know. They or eventually got to that point, and Pearl was always just trying to, you know,
like first love is a complicated love.
Oh, well,
and,
there you
and
go.
And one that just kind of lasts forever, even if it's not the same.
Yeah,
it's like
right,
tucked
right, right
in there.
Yeah, I guess it'll always
shape. Yeah. As I gesture to like my child's chest area, like chest.
Your it's heart's in there.
Yeah, it's in there.
Yeah,
but their like their history just makes it more complicated.
Yeah, and in enduring.
Yeah, yeah, I see. I got you. Then we can talk about Sapphire too, because that was obviously a big thing.
It was a thing.
Why do you think, Eric, why do you think that Sapphire was so like affected by learning that Rose had deceived them?
I mean, because the foundation of their world was shaken, because they'd been together for, I mean, bazillions of years. That's an exaggeration, but almost not. And and the start of it, you know, she gave them sort of permission not to sort of descend into panic and confusion about what it is that they had discovered and the feelings that they were having, and sort of shaped the grounding that they found within their relationship in a sense. Obviously, the two of them found it themselves, but they were given this sort of sense of it being okay. And also with Sapphire sort of having her future prediction and so on, it was, I think, comforting to her maybe to have that kind of guidance from somebody who she respected at the time. And then to have that taken away, it's just like, what does any of it, I mean, does any of it have any meaning? It was given meaning, but then it was taken from them in a sense, or at least that's what they felt in that moment. So I think, yeah, I mean, if the meaning you've given your life is, you know, then snatched from under you, that would be pretty shattering, to use a sort of scary metaphor in the context of our film.
Yeah.
such a sensitive
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally see where you're coming from. It seems like the future vision is a big thing too, which I didn't think about at first, but like just the fact that she could and she didn't see, you know, Rose's
exactly.
true intentions or whatever.
And perhaps then that means that she was blinded by her love. But then what does that mean for who she is, just at the foundation of who she is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love is blind, they say.
Indeed.
I've heard it.
I have, many a time.
same. So Pearl and Rose's whole backstory, too, it says a lot about, you know, Pearl's feelings for Rose and their Rose's feelings towards, you know, Gems and then humanity as well, that whole, like, episode. Is there anything that, like, sort of makes more sense to you now that the truth is out in the open now?
I feel like perhaps Rose has got that hippie vibe. She's all about exploring, experimenting, loving everybody. And it makes sense that prior she was kind of, like, trapped with her conservative rule-following family. So, you know, you leave the family and you become your own thing, and kind of like the opposite of what the diamond structure feels like.
Rebellious.
She also kind of rubbed off on Pearl, too, because I remember earlier recordings where Pearl was always, you know, being fascinated by the earth and all its wonder and beauty. And she was always reminding Stephen of how his mother just loved the earth and loved humans. And so I think that was nice.
Because that's sort of, yeah, that's like a Rose thing. I feel like when we first saw Pearl's touring Rose Around the Earth, it was like very, it was like kind of clinical in that, you know, Pearl was like, yes, here's where we can, you know, create these gems. And this is a great resource, you know. But it seems like when we see Pearl later, she's much more appreciative of like the beauty of it.
Right.
Do you feel like that's accurate?
I wonder more than like a new insight. It feels like everything just, I mean, also I'm obviously very inside the show, but it feels like everything just clicks. You already have all kind of the knowledge. We try to give it to you in the show, and like we set it up, we put it out there for you to like piece the pieces together.
Yeah.
And knowing that last bit of information just makes everything kind of click, I feel like. More than discovering like super new info.
Well, yeah, firsthand. But for a lot of fans, they're rewatching all of those episodes and finding those Easter eggs and finding those little treasures and pieces of information that you have, you know, left. Those little breadcrumbs.
It's all planned.
It's all planned.
Y'all have no idea. So far ahead.
It's genius. You guys are amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
Rebecca helps a lot.
Yes, she does.
She's got her charts. She's got the charts.
Yeah, she's got the charts.
So do you guys feel like you're kind of on that roller coaster with the audience as well then, if you're sort of figuring all this out together?
That's a definite yes from me. That's
Absolutely.
Stevie. That's me.
But it's a roller coaster, but always with such deep meaning. So I'm always, I shouldn't be surprised by it. Darn it, I use that word, should. But it's always just, oh, wow, like this has so many more layers to it than I could have imagined and that I've typically experienced in, again, the world of animation and whatnot. It's just, it's touching on so many things, which is why it has impacted so many people's lives.
Yeah. Was there anything that like resonated with you guys personally from these latest episodes in terms of the characters or like the new revelations and their relationships and their changes?
I just think, I've been so blessed to be able to travel to different conventions all over the country and meet the fans. And they are just so appreciative of a show that they can connect with on so many different levels, and these fans, they range from different ages to genders. I feel like the show has, and I feel like a broken record when I say this too, but the show has really touched the lives of so many people in such a beautiful and positive way. And I feel like also the show could not have come at a more perfect time. And I also run into people who, you know, are more mature audiences, more mature fans of the show, saying that they wished that they had a show like this when they were growing up. Right. So and in that respect, it's, you know, that is something that is, I feel so blessed to be part of a show and to work with these amazing, talented people, the Crooniverse, the voice actors, everybody that is involved in the show. There's such a dream to work with, and then also to share the experience with the fans, because I'm a huge fan of the show myself, with my kids, my family. So it's all wonderful.
Yeah, it impacts me. It impacts my life. I was in fact, speaking of the fans and so on, I mean, I'm pretty much, I feel like, on Instagram tagged in a new fan drawing almost every day. It's like that. And they're all extraordinary. And many of them, of course, now are very revolving around the relationship and the marriage and so on that have just happened. And it's so lovely to see. And the comments that I see that are posted with those, I mean, it's incredibly moving to me. Mm-hmm. What's funny, actually, yeah. too, is like a friend that I've had since, I mean, just the impact of it always sort of blows me away. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, doesn't, because there hasn't been anything like this before.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, quite frankly, even working on a show that I recently worked on Westworld, interestingly enough, I had somebody within the world of the crew of that who was sending me an email about a script that was coming up, and then made the comment, and in the midst of it, it was like, oh, here's the things and the updates and the what have you. And also, I just have to say, your work on Steven Universe really means a lot to me and our community. I was like, I don't even know. It's crazy.
That's
it comes
so
up all the time.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine also recently, I was visiting Toronto and my family out there. I grew up in Toronto and went to grade school there, at least. And a friend who I went to, like, from the seventh grade with onward, who is gay, and, you know, I hadn't seen him in like a year and a half or what have you. And he's like, yeah, you know, we were talking about some other something, and it had something to do with fusing together. And I was like, oh, so you're like Steven Universe. He's like, yeah, just like Steven Universe. And I was like, yeah, you know, cause, and then my girlfriend was there, and she was like, oh, she's on that. You know, she's on that. He's like, what?
Lost it.
He's like, well, what do you play? I was like, Sapphire. He's like, oh! And then he like took a selfie with me, and I'm like, bro,
we know,
like, we've been friends,
dude,
for like 20 years. Like, this is unnecessary. But it was, he's like, I really need to watch credits more. Like, that's crazy. But he's like, my friends are going to lose it. I'm like, we are friends.
Yeah, we are friends.
Amazing. That's crazy.
I love
cool it.
It.
But that's, you know, it's the impact of it. I mean, it impacts me, but I think the impact to those who are sort of receiving it is, I guess, entertainment, but now also just sort of life-changing mm-hmm. art, you know, is
yeah.
perhaps even more important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. We have to talk about the wedding. And we'll do that with Dee Dee and Erica and Hillary coming up. Still here with Erica and Dee Dee and Hillary, and we're gonna talk about the wedding now. So this is obviously a landmark episode for Steven. How did you guys react to seeing like Ruby and Sapphire's whole wedding and their kiss on screen and everything?
Landmark episode for the world.
true. What was your reaction?
I mean, I was happy. I guess
good.
Is the best way of
That's,
putting it.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I was happy. I loved their outfits. Really well done.
Oh, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
Suited up. I felt good about that.
Mm-hmm. I love Sapphire's tux.
It was so good. Yeah, it was actually, Rebecca actually showed that to me ahead of time. And I was like, that is the best.
Oh.
That is, I love that you have, you know, I mean, I guess sort of not, but kind of reversed what mm-hmm. it is that they would typically wear. And I thought it was pretty genius. Mm-hmm. So that made me happy. And I thought their kiss was
great,
very sweet.
She had all that planned so long ago.
Really?
And she was posting, actually on her Instagram, she was posting all these old drawings that are, of course.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah. They're so beautiful.
I saw those and I was like, this is crazy because like, it's like exactly how it looks in the final part. And they were like from like 2015 or something. Like really... It's nuts that she was thinking that far ahead. But I mean, like, I don't know. I shouldn't be surprised.
2015, basically the dawn of time.
Exactly. Exactly. No, but like, it's just so cool because like, I don't know. I mean, you know, the whole series has been building to this, you know, and
right.
It was, I mean, even it was just so wild just seeing it on TV for the first time, like on a physical TV and being like, this is real, you know, this is actually happening.
I've also, you know, I've had the experience, I might have said this in a previous podcast, I'm not sure, but there was one instance where I was, and I'm actually now confused about what I was doing, but somehow I was recording something for a foreign market, but I also speak English, so I don't really know what that means, but I feel like that was happening at one point here at the Cartoon Network Studios. But, and it was some line that had to somehow be rephrased so that it wasn't so romantic. So that it wasn't so indicative of them being a couple. Right. And I remember Rebecca being so jazzed that something about the way I said it still indicated whatever the intention of the line was. She's like, yes, because they sort of demanded that shift. But it, you know, I was like, but no, but that's not what is, no. So,
yeah.
So, and I think also, I'm not sure if that was part of the intentionality of the outfits, but there's been a lot of fan speculation about it, and it makes sense, you know, because I feel like there's been a lot of, oh, well, maybe they're just friends, and like,
they are not just friends.
Not just friends and Ruby.
Right, yeah.
You don't get friend married.
No. Yes.
I mean,
it was part of it. But,
yeah. Part of it, but then there's more.
There's more. There's more context. Well, perhaps
not just,
you can...
not just friends married.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. But yeah, but I thought sort of the wardrobe was also genius in that respect.
It turns it on its head. It's like because, you know, Sapphire's the one who wears the dress and Ruby's the one who doesn't wear a dress. And right. So I like that a lot, too.
Yeah. We tricked you.
Everything is on purpose.
Yes.
Bite
yes.
me now.
Yeah.
And just also sweet.
Very sweet.
But
so beautiful.
So sweet. So beautiful. And it's just like a wonderful moment in the series. Mm-hmm. And I love that sort of Stephen sort of went, even though all of the craziness was happening around them, that he took that moment to make that moment special for them and for everybody.
Mm-hmm. But that's what Stephen does.
It is.
That's why Stephen. We love him so much.
Loves love.
He does it so well.
Who doesn't?
I love that he officiated too. That was good stuff.
He got
right
his
there.
License Perfect. Online, I am sure.
You can, it's not hard. It's not hard.
I feel like for the Crooniverse, it was like very exciting to finally have that out there. Because when fans get excited for previous episodes, everyone's like, just you wait. They're going to get married and you're going to see it and it's not going to be a question.
It's going to be the answer.
Right. It's going to be the answer.
For real, for real
yeah.
now.
For real, yeah. Rebecca's like, I just want this to be out. And we're so happy. Just like, sigh of relief. Yeah. Can you wait? You have this episode in the wings. And you're like, this, I want this.
I also love that the details of the outfits. I'm like going back. I'm
no,
thinking
but
about
it's
the.
Like it's fat.
Let's talk about outfits.
But the flowers. Genius. The flowers. She yes. Rebecca remembered flowers from a wedding that she went to, and she drove.
Hydrania.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, it was a friend's
so
wedding.
Pretty. Yeah. I love that.
So sweet.
You guys, there's so many details.
There's so many details.
That's what makes it special, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of impact are you hoping that this has on people who are watching the show, like, you know, kids, adults, whoever sees this?
Oh, goodness.
I think that impact has already happened. It's continuing to happen. And again, my broken record it just has really brought so many round and round. Sorry.
Mixing it up here.
Sorry.
Throwback?
Yeah. Throwback. Just the show has been such a beautiful, positive vehicle for all of these wonderful subjects. What should I say? How can I say? How can I, not subjects, I like mean, subject matter. I was going to say like.
They are subjects.
Okay.
But I
and they
just,
matter.
They do matter.
But yeah, it's been so wonderful, and I think that a lot of people are getting to open their eyes about a lot of things that maybe they haven't had an opportunity to, you know, speaking just as a parent with my kids, you know, watching the show with them, you know, they never question anything. It's just a show that they
that
love
so
and enjoy.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's just, visually it's beautiful. The music is beautiful. It can get really silly and fun and also very, very deep and meaningful. And so it's like a jam packed show that I don't know any other show like this exists.
No.
But then again, I don't watch a lot of TV except for Westworld.
Oh, hilarious.
your perspective on the world is Westworld.
That's even terrifying.
All right.
Well, Stevie, okay, that's sort of like a nice salve on the.
It's a different genre. It's a bit of a different. It's a yeah.
Yeah. different.
As far as how do I hope it affects people. I hope that it makes them feel like they are okay and that their choices are correct. You know, I mean, it's sort of like that moment that we experienced, that Sapphire and Ruby experienced, of wondering if their choices were incorrect because their choices were given this sort of validation by somebody else that they thought was important to them. But then being able to choose each other for themselves and having that also be right. And I just feel like just all of the things, all the choices that the characters make, and they're all so powerful and sort of self-possessed, and they understand their truth, but they have moments of confusion. But they're people to be looked up to, and they are being themselves. And I think it's just, I want people to take that away from it, that they can be themselves and that it's okay, and that they can be heroic and they can be amazing and be unique at the same time.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think seeing yourself matters.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah, it's so important.
Emotional. It's like, yeah, if you don't see yourself in the media that like everybody consumes, if you only see one thing, you're like, you feel really alone. So I hope kids and adults just like don't feel so sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Bring a little light to the world. That's the takeaway.
It's true. Okay,
I think.
Sorry.
Isn't it lovely? It is important.
I mean,
you know, I don't know any other show that has made an ube roll. For those of you who don't know what an ube roll is, it is a Filipino dessert. And
it's purple.
It's purple.
It's delicious.
It's from the purple yam. But but that was huge in the Filipino community. So, you know, that representation is definitely something that a lot of people long for when they watch anything on TV or, you know, so it's awesome.
It's everything. I was watching actually a stand-up recently, and I wish I remember her name. It's on the stand-ups on Netflix, so it's probably like 8 or 9 in. I was watching quite a few of them. But she was talking about how she's from London, and she always wanted to move to America because of all these things. She saw all the movies about America, and you go to prom, and it's the things. And then, she knew also where, because she was a much darker complexion, and so she also knew the places that she wasn't going to go. Like, she's never going to go to Mississippi, based on like all of the movies that she's seen.
Right. Yeah.
But then she had a booking apparently like in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she was so surprised because she was staying at such a lovely hotel, and she expected to be staying at a shack like in a river, and there would be a guy checking her in who had like overalls with no teeth. And she's like, they had teeth and they had, but like, this is a perfect example though of what representation does.
Right. Yes.
It's like, if you only ever see shows about Mississippi and Alabama that represent the people down there as being this sort of thing, you'll go there and be shocked. And if you only ever see shows about whatever else that show them as being this or that thing, or don't show them at all, then, you know, you draw your own conclusions based
like
on
pretending they don't exist.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's important for the people who are those things, and it's important for the people who aren't.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yes.
All right, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to me today.
Thanks, McKenzie.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Stacey Farah, Charles Abadje, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, The Crooniverse, and Turner Studios in Atlanta. Please subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast at Apple Podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. We love your feedback. Or you can always listen on Google or Amazon smart speakers. Just say, "Hey Google," or "Hey Alexa, play the Steven Universe podcast." I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I will see you next Thursday.